Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Are you wondering about AI and sport? Well, we are too. Today on Sport Faith Life, we speak with Tracy Trothen. Tracy is a professor of ethics at Queen's University and a well-known and longtime expert on sport, technology, and ethics. On top of that, Tracy is a certified spiritual care supervisor and an ordained minister. Tracy loves sports and is more excited than daunted about the possibilities of emerging tech and AI. We can't wait to talk with Tracy about this and other topics, so let's get started.
We're so excited to have Tracy Trothen with us. Tracy, you are not new to the podcast, but we're looking forward to learning more about you. What can you tell us about sport in your life that we don't already know?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I continue to love sport. I mean, I just spent several hours invested in watching the Leafs lose again in the Stanley Cup playoffs, crushing as always, but I continue to cheer in the Stanley Cup final and love it. Love hockey, love sport. Have been doing some more work on sport in my scholarly pursuits too. Especially in the area of artificial intelligence. So technology has been intersecting with sport since forever, but we're seeing it even more so now. It's speeding up, I think, with AI. As AI speeds up like crazy in our midst in the rest of the world, we see it intersecting, especially with sport too. Sport has so much money available in the higher level sports. So we see there being more and more access to AI and these technologies that can be otherwise hard to get. So we're seeing things start to change a bit, I think, in sport. And I've got some concerns. I've got some hopes.
Well, we hope to hear more about those in just a moment. You've caught a really nice wave in terms of the research interest. So we look forward to exploring that a little bit more. How about faith in your life?
Faith in my life. For me as an ethicist, faith is incredibly important. My church, the United Church of Canada, just celebrated its 100th anniversary just a week ago. So I was, I've been thinking a lot about faith and church and how it affects and intersects with all things in my life, in life. And there's just so... So many important questions to ask. So for me, faith has a lot to do with our values, or could have a lot to do with our values, or should have a lot to do with our values. But it's hard because when we live in a world that has an alternative set of values, then that struggle gets rougher and rougher. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be someone who has faith and who loves sport and who loves the academy too? What are the struggles? What do we need to confront? I mean, for me as an ethicist, how do we get to those things that are most important to us, to what it is that we really, really want, what is really important to us? How do we dig through all of what we're told by our surroundings and our context about what it means to be valuable human beings and what we might actually know is valuable about us? This is hard, and it's getting harder with AI being layered on in different areas of life.
Well, Tracy, it's so great to have you back on the podcast, and I want to dig into that AI stuff. But one more question just to get to know you. I want to see what is really valuable to you. Give me one sporting event that if you could only go to one, you could attend. And I'm going to say this, Stanley Cup is off the list.
Oh, oh no. What do I pick?
Yes.
One sporting event. Well, Can it still be hockey?
Well, that shows what's important to you. Yes, of course.
Would be the Women's Hockey League, but absolutely. But also, something that's making the news a lot this week in Canada is Summer McIntosh in swimming and breaking three world records. This woman just keeps doing it over and over again. So I find myself really drawn to a sport that isn't just a team sport, but is also an individual sport too, which is a bit different for me. I've long loved running, slow running, peaceful running. This is what I enjoy doing with my time, or going for hikes in the woods. And I consider both of those sports too. And that's how I love spending my personal sport time, is out on trails, and exploring and listening and feeling nature around me, and being more aware of my embodied self.
There's really nothing like a good rigorous hike in a new on a new trail, with a with beautiful vistas. So really a great opportunity.
Yes.
So I think some of our listeners might be able to guess how you found your way to AI, but I want you to just give us a little bit of background. What type of work have you done that created this space that, oh, Tracy's going to end up spending a little time with AI, the hot topic.
Ah, that's a really good question. That goes back decades, actually. I think I've been at this for maybe too long. Back in the 90s, I was a spiritual care provider at a couple of hospitals in Ontario, and I spent a lot of time in that calling, and really gained so much out of it. One of the things that I did then too was to become involved in the research ethics board. And that raised a whole lot of questions for me around biotechnologies and bioethics. I was studying my doctorate in theological ethics at the time, and I was looking at questions of embodiment then that weren't directly related to sport, but found myself more and more interested in bioethics. And so the two eventually came together: embodiment ethics, theology, and then bioethics. And they intersected when I started writing more about sport about 20 years ago, actually. And I wanted to take a closer look at what bioethics, if anything, had to do with sport, had to do with theology. And I found there was a lot more there than I had anticipated. And it comes down to that question of doping in sport. What do we mean by taking things, using things that give us an edge in sport? Some things that give us an edge are fantastic, and we want more of them. I think about different ways that people train, different ways that people learn how to interact with each other in community. And then there are other ways of enhancing which are designed only to win, instead of making sport more accessible, making it better, making it more inclusive. So it kept raising this question, and it keeps raising this question for me of what it is that truly makes sport better, especially from a Christian theological perspective.
So give us some examples of some things, maybe values, whatever else that you found or that you're leaning towards that might help us understand what is good about sport from a theological, from an ethical perspective. And maybe as you're doing so, you can talk a little bit more specifically about some of these foundations that you come from. When you use the term embodiment, when you use the term bioethics, what is it that you mean there that helps you to understand sport better as it's connected to theology and ethics?
Oh, big questions. Excellent questions. Okay, so let's start with the values more. So some of the values that I find myself thinking about with sport are values that many people have named besides me, things ranging from, for me, self-respect, self-love, other love, responsibility, altruism, competence, adventure, calmness, mutual respect, sensitivity, self-control, discipline, community, creativity, and of course the big one is winning, as I've mentioned. So the trouble is, when winning gets to be all that, what happens to all those other values that I really do, with my heart and soul, believe are so very important, and they're central to what makes us good people, people that we should strive to be in community with each other. And unfortunately, as we know, sport often can squeeze out, especially, and not just higher level sport, but sport at all levels, can squeeze out and dampen some of those other values in favor of winning at any cost. So when we bring technology into the mix, we risk, I think, increasing that emphasis on winning to the exclusion of those other really important values. In my studies of bioethics, certain values there, even in the discipline, tend to get prioritized, which is good to a point. So minimizing harms, maximizing benefits, free choice, those things are important, but questions around what count as the goods that we want to maximize, the harms that we want to minimize. That's the big question that I think bioethics has helped me to raise and see more clearly. So even in that traditional field of bioethics, we don't see much attention to questions like what happens to marginalized values, and should these values even be marginalized? So for example, the value of spirituality, which I think is part of that flourishing concept, that self-love, that other love concept. Do we marginalize values like those without even thinking about it? So in many of the articles that I've read in ethics, the value of spirituality isn't even mentioned. So I wrote an article a while ago on a chatbot replica. And I asked the question, well, you know, what happens when we use replica to spirituality? And why has that not been the topic of other published articles yet? And it's because, again, the value of spirituality is not paid much attention. So how can we get those questions about the impact on our spiritualities, on our faith, into the mainstream conversation about ethics and sport, and now technology as it's booming and growing in there? So that's a very convoluted answer to an excellent question. I'm not sure that I answered everything that you asked me.
Well, Chad can do that to you every once in a while. You know, he'll ask those convoluted questions. So I'm going to ask something a little bit more direct, and then maybe you can steer your way back to Chad's, you know, ambiguous questions. So tell me about AI in sport. There is obviously a huge intersection between technology and sport for, you know, forever. And sometimes that technology is available to everyone. Other times people are looking for that sort of secret technology, that thing that nobody else quite knows. And then usually governing bodies catch up and sort of figure out, okay, who could access this technology and how. So what's happening? I mean, AI is pretty new. How are people utilizing technology for competitive advantage that you've seen? Maybe a few examples.
Great question. Okay, from the most simple thing like Fitbits that most of us have, or we know somebody who has them, that track sleep patterns, that track nutrition, heart rate, all those things that can help people who are training for different sports or just wanting to have fun with sport even, right? It becomes almost addictive. Oh, how fast have I got it? I beat my last time. You know, is my heart rate down or up? And it can be very helpful. It can also be a distraction to take us away from the moment. At least that's what I find for myself. I mean, I want my steps counted, so I want to wear my watch. But at the same time, what does that do? What are the impacts? So a few other examples, if we're going to go higher end, I mean, we have everything from smart toilets, which measure output and do chemical analysis for our health and feedback, and digital twin technology that creates a virtual image of a person. And we had one athlete use it to so that her heart could be looked at and studied more closely in terms of how it reacts when training and running. So this is obviously extremely expensive technology. There's also cheaper technology, the Fitbits, for example. There are a number of things that have me concerned for enhancing performance. For example, for quite a long time, we've had different technologies that can stimulate the brain, so brain stimulation technologies, and it's been theorized that these stimulators can enhance endurance for example, long distance runners. You can get those brain stimulators through the internet very easily and have little traveling kits even and the whole nine yards. Now, of course, there are dangers there, right? We don't know all the effects on the brain, but if it's believed that this technology could help us win, and if winning is everything, then people might be willing to sacrifice and take those risks with their health if they're able to afford that technology. I'll give you one more example that I find particularly intriguing and worrying. Well, maybe I'll give you two. One is implantables. So there's technology right now that allows different mechanisms to be implanted in people for medical purposes, such as releasing insulin for diabetics. Not everybody has this technology, but some people are using it, especially people who can afford it and for whom it is well suited physically. But it's looking like, and this may well already be happening, that it could also be used, that same technology, to implant mechanisms in athletes that allow for different substances to be released at just under the radar levels, right? And so it's not detectable, or they can be programmed to stop releasing if you know you're going to be tested at a certain time or have that information. Or maybe you're playing in a sport or at a level where you're not being tested and you can just simply have this in your system all the time and it doesn't matter. The other example I wanted to give for athletes is just around chatbots again. I mentioned Replica earlier. There are lots of different mental health chatbots out there, including some specifically designed for athletes like GymBuddy and MindBot. And they are designed to help people and especially athletes to support their mental health well-being. The trouble is that sometimes these AIs go off the rails and sometimes they make mistakes. And you can say humans do too, so but there may be more a greater chance of accountability with human mistakes than some of these large language models and mistakes that can happen there.
It's a really nice sample size. Some many of those things we've heard of, right? Not all of them, but a lot of them we've heard of, and we sort of take for granted without, and we use them without even thinking about the the ethical costs, for instance, or the costs in terms of our own personal development. So I'm wondering, as you give these examples, some of which we're familiar with and some of which we're not, how would you articulate what the harms are, right? Outside of the fact that, like, well, we just some of it we just don't know yet, right? So some of it is unproven, maybe scientifically or just in kind of our popular mindsets. But what else do you see as the particular harms here that we should be worried about that should give us pause?
Excellent question, Chad. Thank you for that. So AI has what has often been called an echo chamber effect, meaning that biases, social biases, become embedded in these technologies, and not just embedded, but they get promoted and amplified by them. So what we're seeing is that anything that's programmed AI using human-informed data, which of course all of our data is human-informed, also carries our human biases. And so AI that's being used in sport is really biased towards winning, to helping enhance the value of winning, and not helping to enhance or even paying attention to what some consequences could be that aren't so good about other values in sport, about the other things that sport gives us. So, you know, the question around what makes an athlete great and a great value. Okay, so we see AI being used in recruitment programs. It's very possible that some of these recruitment programs could miss athletes who have gifts that don't fit into a tight box. Say they're more creative rather than more biomechanically strong, right? You might miss that person. What if the goal of sport isn't so much to get and develop those athletes who will win the most, but it's to involve as many people as possible in a community to come together, to learn how to work together, to enjoy being embodied and being able to laugh and enjoy each other, have a good time, and learn basic rules around how to treat each other, how to be accountable. What if those are the things that are more important? Then AI is not going to help us with this, because we're seeing the tools of AI being created that are oriented towards winning, and not just winning, but also to profit. So we see lots of fan engagement platforms being developed, and you might have noticed the greater attention to gambling platforms anymore. So these are all AI powered. Well, why is this? Well, they reflect our social values on winning and on money. My fear is that with this added emphasis on those two values, which there are good things about both those values too. I have a lot of strong suspicions about both those values, but there are good things as well. But if we have an exclusive focus on those two values, then we do risk leaving out the spirituality of sport, that awe, that wonder, that transcendence, the hope that sport creates for us, sense of community, all those things that I think we need to prize even more. I mean, I think about an athlete's identity and sense of self, and we can really, if we zero in on winning too much, the sense of one's own worth gets reduced to winning. And of course we can't, none of us can win all the time. Some of us never win. Well, what does that do to our own sense of self-worth? How do we understand that when we get reminded of really important biblical stories, for example, such as the shepherd finding the lost sheep, gathering that little sheep up in their arms, carrying them around their shoulders, and not caring what that sheep did to get lost, just being so thrilled and grateful to have that little sheep back, right? Nothing else matters. Well, how does that, what does that tell us about how we approach sport and how we make sport better with technology? There are things we can do to make it better, I think. I think that AI can be used and is being used to look to mitigate injuries, to help us to heal better, to enable access to sport. But of course, a big limiting feature there is cost. And it's not equally available to everybody. So we've got to be asking ourselves some hard questions about where we want AI to go in sport, what it is we value about sport, what it is we value about ourselves and each other.
You know, you started to get to the question I was formulating about AI. So I'm just going to push that a little bit more. all universities right now are dealing with AI, right? Our students, certainly the publicly available AI students are accessing and using in lots of different ways. And the initial response to that from a professor, from administrators, is fear, right? This is going to ruin education, right? It's going to change everything. And so in a chair like yours, the same thing can be very tempting. Like, this is the end of the world. AI has come along and we need to hold it at bay. But you started to open the door to, you know, maybe thinking about the positives of AI. And I guess my first question back to you is, what posture should we have toward AI? Should it be sort of this defensive wariness? Should it be more positive, anticipating the benefits of AI? And then if it's some of it is that benefit, you started to tell us a little bit about how that might work. I'd love to hear you talk about that.
Thank you so much for that, Ryan. Intentionality. I think intentionality is key. If we approach sport and being human and technology with intentionality, then we can make more proactive choices instead of just being swept along in this echo chamber tide. I think it's very possible that we can find opportunities here that AI presents to us. I think that as AI is unfolding, there is lots of promise, there's peril, but I actually think there's more promise than peril if we are intentional. That is really the big thing. I think it's harder to be intentional in something like sport, where it's so embedded in our culture, our society, North American society, that it's all about winning. Then we really do risk having that blow up hugely. But it is possible that we can make it different, that we can focus on AI that allows for greater equity, greater inclusion. Even it can help us reduce our eco footprint and take us into a more positive and sustainable type of sport. So for example, during COVID, we saw some wonderful things happen around virtual reality and around fan platforms and helping people to attend and participate in sports events virtually who couldn't make it out. How awesome is that, right? I mean, there are a lot of people who can't get out for a whole bunch of different reasons. One may be that they can't afford it financially. Others may be that for mental health reasons, they can't get out the door. It could be a struggle physically, but here we are. We've got possibilities now. We've got possibilities that could be low cost and really include people. We're seeing this in our churches too. So it's a extremely important possibility there. We have a lot of different technologies emerging that can promote injury healing and prevention, for example. But this is at the higher end again, and so it costs a lot of money. But there are semi-autonomous robots that have been helping football players train on the field to minimize the incidence of concussions. Well, that is great. I mean, that's huge. Is there anything else we can do, even if we're not collectively willing to cut out sports that have a high injury risk? Is there a way for us to minimize that and get creative about prioritizing health and well-being? I think that there are. I think that AI can help us with that. Part of the problem, again, is going to be access to these technologies. And of course, it's going to be people with more money that have more access right now. And that's a serious problem that we have to pay attention to. But yeah, I think just like in the university and education, the wrong direction to go is that one of overwhelming fear, as you mentioned. It's more about, what do we do with this? How do we get more intentional about it? So how can we make it something that we can learn about and learn what AI is, what it isn't, so what its limitations are, what its possibilities are, and how do we make more intentional choices about not just how we use and who gets to use AI, but what AI we even create. So that this is a long-term project. I think we can do it. I think that there are many more possibilities than there are perils here. I don't think it's all apocalyptic. I don't think it's all utopian either, but I do get uneasy when the emphasis is heavily on, oh, AI is going to be the death of all humanity. I don't see that, but I do think it's a wake-up call for becoming more intentional about what it is that we find to be most important to ourselves.
Tracy, thank you for that brief conversation, really, about what is going to be a huge conversation, I think, for many of us for years. So thank you for sort of starting that for us. We're really interested in hearing more, certainly at the Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. We're really excited about your involvement in that through the years, and we're just grateful that you have been doing this sort of work for so long. And you're the perfect person to do it. So we really appreciate that effort. We just look forward to talking with you again in the future.
Thanks, Chad and Brian. Really appreciate it. Love spending time with you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life.